Welcome to CT Expert Insights. When your business needs people it can trust, you can count on us. We dedicate ourselves to getting to know your needs and finding solutions to meet them. You'll have a team of experts backing you up.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Our guest in this edition is Philip Davis, president of Tungsten Branding, based in North Carolina. You can learn more about Phil and his work at tungstenbranding.com. Today, we're going to be discussing the importance of choosing a good name for your business. Should it be something that explains what you do? Should it be a unique name that people can remember? Or should it be all that and more? And how should you go about establishing that business name? We'll get to all of that in the next few minutes. And Phil, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So how important is the name? There's so many things that aspiring or existing business owners need to do to get a business off the ground. So many different things coming across their desk. So how much care needs to go into this decision?
Well, that's a great question. And I get it all the time since we do this all the time. And I compare it often to when you go to build a foundation to anything, a home, a business, it starts with the foundation, and that foundation starts with a cornerstone or that first initial block or foundation piece that you put in place. From that piece, everything becomes aligned. And if you don't get that initial stone or that piece in place and level and aligned the way you want, everything is out of kilter going forward. And that's what I see more than anything else is people that were poorly aligned or poorly named who have a consistent struggle with their business identity, and it traces all the way back to the original identity. It's got a kink, it's got a twist, it's got a bubble in it, and it causes them going forward to lose traction in conversations.
So while a good customer experience ultimately can get someone to come back to your store or whatever business you're running, your name may be a factor in whether they come to you in the first place. Based on the research you've done, what do customers notice in a name and what do they respond to?
I think what a name really should do is be a conversation starter versus a conversation stopper. I had a blog post that said, is your company name a what or a huh? And a what isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think the mistake that's often made is everybody should understand everything upon hearing a company name. And what that results in are very plain, generic, pedestrian names that are more like descriptor phrases than company names. What you really want is engagement that continues to keep somebody interested and involved. And that's a what. What is tell me more. I want to continue this conversation. It sounds interesting. Huh is I don't get it. It's confusing. I often compare it to somebody who announces their company name and you go, what, huh? And you almost can't wait for the elevator doors to open so you can run away because it sounds convoluted and it requires a horrible explanation and you've lost the person. You know, you've heard in the movie phrase, you had me at hello. This is like you lost me at hello.
What else is on the checklist then? What do you have to consider? Obviously, what the business is a key part of it, but what resonates and what avoids that bubble or that kink that you were mentioning?
So a couple of things. I always start with what we term the pivot point. In every founder's heart, there is a sense of mission or purpose or something that drives them, something that got them into doing what they were doing. I swear if Steve Jobs hadn't been working on a personal computer, he would have been invented an amazing yo-yo or something. He just had this energy about him that said, I want to create different novel things that serve people. So where owners get confused is they'll often confuse the product that they're selling instead of the purpose behind it. And what happens is your products and services typically will rotate over in a 5 to 7 year period. Now, that's the common life cycle of a product. And if you brand around what you're selling and your service, that service can undergo such radical transformation that your identity along with it becomes absolutely obsolete or confusing or very oblique within a matter of years. But if instead you were to look at what are the attributes behind my brand, what is it that we're really trying to bring? And everybody's into what's in it for me. So I don't buy a car because it's thousands of pounds of metal. I buy a car because it brings me mobility or it brings me status or prestige. Or it brings me economy and it brings me savings. So if we identify around the attributes, those are timeless things. So for example, our company is Tungsten Branding, tungsten being the wire and the light bulb. It's a matter for brilliance and insight. We will always continually strive to bring insight and clarity. But we might evolve from naming. We might start doing, you know, a little bit of web design. We might end up doing some tagline development or positioning. So I didn't name my company around the word naming. I named it around the attribute that we bring, which is clarity and insight. So anchoring your business in an attribute is far better than trying to describe what you do. And probably the best example of that we've seen the last few years was Comp USA, Computers in the United States, versus Best Buy. One brand was based on a geography and a product, and the other one was based on an attribute, an affordable buying of great quality merchandise. So everyone always wants a Best Buy, but not everybody's going to want computers bought in the USA.
I was going to ask you anyway about how you came up with the name of Tungsten Branding, so I'm glad you explained that. Was that a fairly simple process for you, or did you go through a number of different possibilities before you finally arrived there?
Well, I actually had it's an interesting question. I had an advertising agency for 17 years, and that's what led up to the branding firm that we have today. We constantly were dealing with people's identity issues. And I was talking to my creative director, and we're having lunch one day, and I said, you know, we want people to have that aha moment, that light bulb moment. You know, if we could just create something that, you know, when the wire goes off. And then we were talking about, what is that wire? And I think one of us said, oh, it's tungsten. And it's what Thomas Edison first worked with early on to develop the light bulb. And we both looked at each other as creatives and said, now that's a killer name. We should start something called Tungsten. Because we had a boring ad agency name at the time. It was like the Davis Agency. I was doing the cliche thing everyone does. And so when I departed from my ad agency years, I got tired of beating people over the head with 3,000 ads a month to get them to buy a car. I said, let's create some clarity and insight and get ahead of the problem instead of working from behind the problem. I always used to say I'm on the wrong end of the mule. We're always getting kicked when we could just be leading this thing with clear brand identity. I knew that Tungsten was the name to go because I would always be aligned with this idea of brilliance, insight, and clarity. And I love the history of Edison because he was a guy that just wouldn't give up. And I really believe in persistence as well. So it leads to a story. It leads to engagement with a client when we have these conversations. And I think that's a different kind of name than what you see out there when you look up naming companies and half of them have the word name in them.
Well, light bulbs might be changing, Phil, but don't change it to compact fluorescent branding. I think
thinking like LED branding might be the next thing.
You mentioned,
I could just say at this point we're burnt out, you know.
you mentioned a few things that folks should avoid in this process. So what else is on that list? I've read things that include, you know, embarrassing acronyms and that sort of thing, or just things that, like you mentioned before, create more confusion than clarity for folks. So what are some of the things you definitely want to stay away from?
Okay, so the worst name of all, there's meaningless names, which everybody thinks, well, that's not good. I mean, well, that's an empty vessel. You can always create meaning. You're starting from zero, no momentum, so that's not necessarily good. But if you're creating something, you don't want anybody to have any preconceptions. You might start with a Xerox or Exxon or a Kodak type of name. But I think the worst names of all, the ones you really want to avoid, are misleading names. So if you think of your customer as being kind of at the starting point, you have a great name, you kind of have your hand gently on their back and you're kind of walking along with them and they're moving along with you, moving forward in the conversation. If you think of just kind of inert, meaningless names that aren't bad or good, that's kind of like you're standing still. But if you create a misleading, or you have a legacy name that's misleading, you actually introduce yourself, you create a misperception by the name. You have to almost go back. They're walking the wrong, oh, I know what you do. My mind is fixed. I have an idea of what you do, but it's the wrong idea. I have to now go arrest you, convince you that what you think I'm about is not what I'm about, bring you back to the starting line, and now start you off in the right direction. And, you know, if you think of Burlington Coat Factory, for a while they had a disclaimer that said, we're not based, you know, we're not Burlington Industries, and we're not associated with Burlington Industries. And their tagline is, we're more than coats. So I thought between Burlington, which we're not affiliated with them, we're not just in Burlington, Vermont, we're not associated with their industries, must have been some kind of litigation to have to put that on everything, and we're more than just coats. It really created this, well, then what the heck are you? So I think names that get you going forward and saying this is what we're about, and people are nodding, going, well, that makes sense. Well, tell me more, is what you want to go for. So misleading names are the worst. Inert legacy acronym names, I think, are the second worst. And then you start getting into the positive territory, names that align with attributes and those other things. So I would avoid legacy, acronyms, geography, and obsolete products in your name.
Very good tips. And in our last minute or two here, Phil, what do you need to do once you decide on your name? Is there a process of checking to see if somebody already has the rights to that? And if they don't, what do you need to do to lock it down?
Okay, a couple of things. There's about eight or nine. If you go to my website, not trying to sell here because there's nothing really to sell, I'm saying to go there to read the articles. There's a wealth of information about naming strategies. There's about seven or eight naming strategies that you can use. To create, the more differentiated that name is, the better. Metaphors are great, but anybody in any industry can use the same word. So metaphors like the summit of a mountain or the apex, those have been thought of so many times. So I always tell people, try to create things that are can be fresh and novel, but in new ways. Mix up positive connotation names to come up with things like OnStar, you know, GM's product. It's the made-up name, On and Star, but it gives you the idea of brilliance, guidance, insight. And then the names are sometimes amazingly still available. So find names, find branding strategies, naming strategies. There's seven or eight of them. Invented names, coin names, positive connotation, descriptive hybrid names like JetBlue. There's a number of ways to capture your attribute through different naming strategies. And then if you want to see if they're available, do a whois check. I use domaintools.com. But you can use any registrar to check for the domain. I always like to get the matching.com if possible. Avoids future problems. Check USPTO.gov for trademark. You can also file your own trademark or hire an attorney. And do your due diligence. Do a Google search 10 pages deep. I mean, and then check social media profiles and see if the names are available. These are all indicators of if somebody's occupying that space. You want as much white space around your name so that when people think of you, they find you. People often say, I want keywords in my name. I say, well, then you're competing with your entire industry. You want it so that when they think of your name, they find nobody but you.
Great advice. Phil, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you very much for tremendous insights on this important issue as folks get ready to launch their businesses. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And if you ever need another word or two of advice as things evolve, feel free to call.
We'll be happy to. Philip Davis is president of Tungsten Branding, based in North Carolina, tungstenbranding.com. I'm Greg Corumbus. And for more information on this topic, please call CT at 844-787-7782.
With 125 years of experience, CT is here to help you at every stage of the business life cycle.